To all who come to this happy place, welcome.
Please stand clear of the doors.
Por favor, manténganse alejados
de la puerta. Since this is here, the wild ride in the vista.
When indiscipline endures change.
Hello and welcome to Miles from Main Street, your Far From Disney podcast. My name is Mikhailo.
And I'm Brian.
And we're here to talk about Disney World.
But especially coping away from Disney.
Which we know a lot about, being from the Midwest. Here at Miles from Main Street, our preferred travel agency is Magical Vacations by Kimberly. Kimberly is a Disney expert and can handle all of your Disney planning needs. She can also plan Universal and all major cruise lines. Contact Kimberly at magicalvacationsbykimberly@yahoo.com.
And find her on Facebook and Instagram under Magical Vacations by Kimberly.
So today on Miles from Main Street, we are doing some more trivia. Trivia is always fun. Brian and I always like trivia. We always like to test each other and see how much we know. So we're going to go through, we've got a couple questions, and then we're going to try to come up with some stuff on the fly with our own brains and see how that goes.
Yeah, and so, this is, you know, we like to do these. We've done a couple episodes now where we do trivia, and we're trying not to repeat those same questions. So, you know, this time around tonight, I'm going to try to find a way to only ask questions about things that you can find in the parks or things that you would be able to use on a trip to Disney World. Just some added value, I guess.
And I am going to go ahead and ask any question imaginable. As long as it's associated with Disney, it's fair game for me.
Cool. All right.
So, Brian, go ahead with your first questions. See if you can stump me.
All right, here we go. The names and numbers written on the pipes throughout the Living Seas Pavilion represent what? Would you like the multiple choice answers?
Yes, yes, that would be great.
Okay. The many species of fish located inside the attraction, names of Disney animated films and the year they were released, code names of attractions and their opening dates, or the names and extension numbers of Imagineers who worked on the attraction.
So I'm going to talk through this one. That last one sounds like something Disney Imagineers would do. Something kind of funny, like putting their extensions and then their names. That would be funny. The Disney attraction code names seems like something they would do. The first one seems a little too obvious, so I'm going to take that one out of the equation. What was the second answer?
Names of Disney animated films in the year they were released.
That one seems a little obvious. So I'm going with the last two, number three and number four. I'm going to go with my gut, what my gut was telling me. And I'm going to say Imagineers and their phone numbers or whatever it was. It was like their extensions.
Yes, the names and extension numbers of Imagineers who worked on the attraction. If you look closely while looking through the pavilion, you will notice that many of the interior pipes in Seabase Alpha have names and numbers written on them. So those are like their signature of the Imagineers that work there. So I think that's really cool. One of the things that you can find in Epcot. I think one of the well-known ones is the pipes in Dinosaur and having the chemical formulas for ketchup, mayonnaise, and mustard up on there. So I think, you know, anything like that, like little things you can find in the attraction that you're in, I think are really cool.
That's also kind of like the tombstones at Haunted Mansion too, where they They were actually kind of like limericks about the Imagineers that helped with Haunted Mansion. So I've read through that before, and I knew the names at one point, and now I completely forgot. But that's always really fun to kind of go through and read those and just like be like, oh yeah, those were Imagineers. So that's always really cool. And it does seem like they always like to kind of put something like that into the attractions. So that's always really cool.
I agree. And, you know, you can find names of Imagineers all over the parks, mm-hmm. all over the place and different things. One of them that I can point out real quickly would be across from the Little Mermaid attraction in Magic Kingdom. There is a, I guess it's a DVC kiosk is what it's what it's used for. But overhead, there is a sign that says H. Gough Cartography. And that is a nod to Harper Gough. So mm-hmm. these are the types of things that, you know, Imagineers will be named for it all over the park.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Well, here is mine. I don't have a fancy book with cool explanations for your questions.
And I'm not going to spend the episode reading all the explanations, but that one I felt needed to be read. So.
That was a good one, definitely. So here's mine. How many years later did Splash Mountain open in Walt Disney World after Disneyland opening Splash Mountain?
I guess, first of all, I should know that it opened in Disneyland first.
Correct.
I'm going to say... it was 3 years.
You are correct. It was 3 years. Yes. That, honestly, it is a good guess. And I think with attractions opening, like the same attraction opening, I think this is probably like the longest that they ever went without opening the attraction. Although, I mean, when you think about Tron, I think Tron's been open for a little longer than 3 years, probably out in the Asia parks. But that was always kind of weird that most of the time when Disney opened something in land or even world, they would bring it to like those parks pretty immediately. Even when Disney World opened, they weren't going to put pirates in, and then they got a whole bunch of pushback to put pirates into Disney World, and they ended up doing it. They ended up caving like right away.
Yeah, they had all the guests going, where are the pirates? Because that mm-hmm. was a big thing in Disneyland. So,
yep. So, 3 years.
3 years. And here is my first off the top of my head question.
Mm-hmm.
How did they get the name for Splash Mountain?
I actually know this. And it was Michael Eisner was coming out. He actually, oh my God, I'm going to go through a big, long explanation of this. So Michael Eisner had Paramount Pictures, and they were coming out with the movie Splash, and he wanted to actually promote that new movie that was coming out in the parks. And so he suggested, hey, why don't you call it Splash Mountain after this new movie we're coming out with called Splash? So that's why it was called Splash Mountain. It really had nothing to do with the movie, but they had that name. So it ended up being Splash Mountain.
And I've heard it a little bit differently, where the attraction was in progress as far as going into long explanations. So Tony Baxter had pulled apart America Sings, and a lot of the animatronics within Splash Mountain are from America Sings. And they had begun work on Splash Mountain. And yes, Eisner comes along and says, we need to do this, make the attraction about Splash. And the Imagineers kind of went, but we've already got this all in motion. And it was a compromise to go to Splash Mountain.
I mean,
I think it fits well without theming, whatever theming it might be.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Eisner definitely had that. For all of the amazing things he did, he definitely had that that money brain about promoting the things he wanted to do, which, to be honest, was how Disneyland started. It was just Disney promoting a whole bunch of his intellectual properties. So kudos to you. And Eisner did a really great job doing all of that. But I would be very sad if Tony Baxter had caved and actually made it about Splash the movie, because Splash Mountain still is currently and will be, once it's gone, still one of my favorite rides.
And it's not going to be gone. It's just going to be rethemed. It's going
correct,
to
yeah.
Frog, which I think is going to be wonderful. And I think that they'll do a terrific job of retheming it.
Do you think, you know, I haven't heard this yet, and nobody said anything about it, so I'm guessing it's not a thing, but are they renaming it, or are they just keeping it Splash Mountain and just putting Princess and the Frog inside of it?
Yeah, I don't know.
Hmm.
Speculation on my part is that maybe this was a little bit of a, okay, so no good idea dies at Disney, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's just shelved for however long. And they probably had this idea for Princess and the Frog to go in, but it was shelved. And the timing was right during the protests last summer to say, okay, we're going there. My speculation on this part is I think it was a little bit of a surprise to the Imagineers. And so they're kind of scrambling, working to get this going. Again, all speculation on my part. I have no insider information on this. So, and it's a year later and we have nothing. So those questions of if they're going to rename it, they may not even know that at this point. I would prefer they keep it the mm-hmm. same, since it's the right same ride mechanism. Like I said, Splash Mountain's perfect for that ride. It doesn't need to be changed. You go up a mountain and you splash down. Plain and simple, right? So why change it?
Yeah, and I totally agree. It was just something that I was kind of thinking about that I haven't heard about. And usually when things like retheming and a change like this of this magnitude happens, I have seen them change names before, but it makes sense that it's still a flume ride. You're still going down and it wasn't anything with Song of the South in the name or anything. It was just Splash Mountain. So might as well just keep it. Anyways, here's my second question. And I'm kind of throwing you on the bus, Brian, because I know you haven't been to Disneyland yet, but you may know the answer to this question because of certain things that have happened at the park. Certain changes. I'm already giving you hints. In Disneyland's Fantasyland, there are two rides that have mermaids. Which two rides are they?
Well, that would be Peter Pan's Flight. And
mm-hmm.
in Disneyland. You know, Mikhailo, I'm unsure on that one. I think I want to say it's like 20,000 Leagues, but I don't know if it's still at Disneyland. And that's where I haven't been there, so I'm not really mm-hmm. sure.
Yep.
So I kind of want to say that because I know there were some mermaids involved there.
There were, and 20,000 Leagues is actually Nemo now.
Okay. So there you go. You're throwing me under the bus, as you said.
Exactly.
Well, let's go with Nemo then.
Okay. You're half right. You got Peter Pan. You got that one right away. The other one, you got to kind of think, this is the hint that I was giving you before. The other one is It's a Small World, because they were putting characters into the countries.
Yeah,
so
just talked about that too.
Yeah, in France they have the Little Mermaid, Ariel. So there you go. Now you know. So you get a 50% on that one. That was good. You have a point.
It's a D. Okay, so on the replica of the moon outside, Mission Space, and this is in Epcot, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You'll see red, white, and blue markers. What do the white markers represent?
I thought you were going to ask a completely different question. What are the white markers? So I know, I'm pretty sure. I'm going to sound silly if I say this and it's like completely wrong. But are those, I'm not even going to say the country, but is it another country that landed on the moon? Am No. I kind of in the right vicinity? Okay, completely wrong. Are they like spots on the moon though, right? So like spots on the moon that different teams went to? Like people No. have landed there? I'm way off.
Let me know when you want the...
Oh yeah, are there options?
Yes.
Okay, give me some options then. Okay. I'm gonna need some options.
All right. A, unmanned missions to the moon. Two, the first manned mission to space. Roman numeral 3.
Mm-hmm.
A commemoration of the lives lost in space exploration. Or D, the first lunar landing. And I hope I'm pronouncing well enough. Lunar landing. Mm-hmm.
You got it. Could I hear them again?
Yes. A, unmanned missions to the moon. Two, the first manned mission to space. Roman numeral 3. A commemoration of the lives lost in space exploration, or D, the first lunar landing?
I'm going to go with 2 on this one, Brian.
Okay, so letter B is wrong.
Oh, darn.
Thank you for playing.
Yes.
They are unmanned missions to the moon.
Oh, wow.
So the model of the moon located indicate the 29 landing sites.
Mm-hmm.
So you were kind of right. Like the colored markers indicate the 29 landing sites of mm-hmm. manned and unmanned missions. So the white ones are the unmanned.
Oh, okay.
So
fun. So when I play Disney trivia, usually I'm playing it with people who are not as Disney savvy as you, Brian. So when they start to say certain things, my mind already goes to like what they're about to say, and most of the time I'm like, oh yeah, it's this, and I'll just like already know what they're about to say. And I was trying to do that with you, but you went in a completely different direction. I thought you were gonna talk about the Death Star that was right outside of Mission Space, but of course not. Of course you're gonna throw me in a completely different direction.
Yeah, keep you on your toes, man.
Definitely. So, here's my next question for you, Brian. How much was adult admission to Walt Disney World on opening day in 1971?
I know this one. And quite timely, Mikhailo, with the 50th coming up. $3.50.
That is correct.
Now, when I saw that, I was questioning how much a ticket book cost. And I don't know the answer to that.
Mm-hmm. And for those of you who don't know, back in the day, Disney kind of was a little bit more like a fair that you would go to nowadays, where you needed tickets to ride rides. And what they would do is they would give you a ticket book, and the attractions were... had different rankings. So it was like A through E. and you got a certain number of A tickets and a certain number of B tickets all the way down to E. I think you only got like, I can't remember which way it went. I think you only got like one E and like a whole bunch of A. But then with those ticket books, you had to decide what tickets to use on what rides. You could buy multiple ticket books and be money bags and go on whatever you wanted with those, but you still needed those tickets to ride those rides. And actually, here's a follow-up question for you, Brian. What year did they stop using ticket books at Walt Disney World?
Oh, man. That is a great question, and one that I've heard before, but has not stuck with me. I'm going to say it was probably sometime in the late 80s.
So, Brian, you're close. It wasn't the late 80s. It was the early 80s. It was 1982, which is slightly surprising for me. I would have thought that they would have done away with ticket books pretty early on. But they kept going with it all the way through the 80s. So,
okay, so as we were talking, I was able to find it. As we talked about, general admission was $350 for an adult. You could get different levels of a ticket book. There was a 7 adventure or 11 event adventure ticket book. And an adult 7 adventure ticket book was $4.75. An 11 adventure ticket book was $5.75. So, as you said, you had the A ticket, which was worth 10 cents. Good for a one-way ride. So the streetcars on Main Street is kind of your A ticket stuff. And a B ticket was 25 cents and was like the sitting, they say like the Main Street Cinema, Shooting Gallery, Mike Fink, Keelboats, Swiss Family Treehouse. Can you imagine paying a ticket? Like that's a B ticket for the Swiss Family Treehouse. A C ticket would have been the Tomorrowland Speedway or Dumbo, Snow White's Adventures, Peter Pan's Flight. I always thought like Peter Pan would have been an E ticket, right?
Yeah, right.
I mean, you whenever we're there, that line is always insane. Mm-hmm. It's an omni mover, so that was a C ticket. D ticket was let's see, that like Flight to the Moon, the Skyway. If anyone remembers the Skyway to Tomorrowland, it was it was one way. You couldn't ride it back, I guess. Country Bear Jamboree was a D ticket, Hall of Presidents. And then the E tickets were the D ticket was 75 cents. The C ticket was 50 cents. I don't know if I mentioned that. And an E ticket was 80 to 90 cents. And, you know, that was Mickey Mouse Review, 20,000 Leagues, It's a Small World, Enchanted Tiki Birds, Haunted Mansion. So yeah, it says like they moved some things around back and forth between D and E, but I always thought that those ticket books are kind of cool. I'm too young to have ever been able to use them, so I'm not going to run out and try to buy one at this point as a collector's item. I just like there was a hat on our last trip, that a blue hat that had the E ticket or the ticket book on the front of the cap.
Cool.
Which I thought was pretty neat. So I don't know. I like how they ranked their rides, I guess. And you could go and just buy an A ticket if you wanted to. You didn't have to buy an entire book. So.
Yeah. And I always thought that was awesome with the, how they did the tickets, and it just kind of felt more, whenever I saw that, it felt more carnival-y to me. And that's what Walt didn't want, but that was like kind of the only system that they had of like doing all that. And then you think about, I routinely pay. I mean, it's way more updated now, and I do a lot more than just those things that were there, but routinely pay over $100 to get into Disney. And to pay $350 to even just walk around Disney, I'd pay a good amount of money just to walk into Disney, like just to walk down Main Street. And they had all of that stuff up already. When Disney first opened, they had Main Street, they had the castle and everything. $350 to just get in to the park. It's crazy. And that's what kind of blows my mind, is all that infrastructure was already there. Like, the park was pretty much what the park was in 1971, like the layout and everything for the most part. But I mean, obviously they've plussed it up a whole bunch and just added all this, these amazing rides, but still, like, $350, and then you bought a ticket book, and the ticket book was maybe $5. Like, crazy. Like, that blows my mind.
And I think I saw something that inflation would put that $3.50 admission around $75 now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's, I guess that puts it a little bit in perspective. $350, yeah. I guess, was kind of still expensive. So, I guess we can see that Disney is charging more than inflation.
Yeah.
That's something we could talk about on another episode, maybe, is ticket prices, what you're getting for your money.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so I've got my next one for you. I'm pretty much staying in Epcot because you are the self-proclaimed lover of Epcot.
Oh, boy.
I know. I'm trying to stump you tonight. all right, the Norway Pavilion houses a special house of worship. What is it?
Give me some clues. Give me some answers.
A, the Stave Church. B, the Buddhist Temple. C, a Viking Temple. Or D, a Gothic Cathedral.
I'm going to go with the Stave Church. And I've definitely been in this before. And it has like a church-esque feel to it. But it's kind of like Norway's area of like, this is Norway. Like, all the pavilions kind of have that at some point somewhere. And that's kind of what this church is. It's very cool. I've definitely been in there, and they have some Norway type things inside of it. And it's kind of like an exhibit. But that's what I'm going with, the Stave Church.
You're right. It is the Stave Church. And it is a traditional house of worship, as the question had said, that I have actually been in one in Washington Island, Wisconsin.
They wow. Have
a really neat one. It's all beautiful wood on the inside, and that the roof kind of is the giveaway of that type of thing. But so if you're coming from China towards the Norway Pavilion, it's right out on the promenade, right? And I think a lot of people don't really notice it. Like, I mean, you're running for Frozen at that point. So I don't know that people really see it. And I'm sorry, not from China, coming from Mexico. It's going to be on that side. And yeah, like you said, there's a museum inside of it, and currently it's Thor and Loki, which it's the you know, the traditional Thor and Loki Norse god myths. And my son and I had a really good time looking around in there and learning about the original Thor and the original Loki, not the Marvel characters, right? So yeah, that's definitely a place to check out when you're walking through. And as we discussed, you know, it last week, visiting these countries, there's a lot to see. And this is one of those items that you can take a look at when you're visiting Norway.
So, Brian, using my brain and absolutely nothing else, I have come up with this question. This is something that I see all the time on certain like Disney history type documentaries and stuff like that. It's something that I thought was very cool. And it is, I have to formulate this because it's not written down. Who was the United States Army general who did all of the overseeing for the early construction of Walt Disney World?
That is Admiral Joe Fowler. Do I have the first name right? Fowler is his last name.
So it's actually General Joe Potter. You're Potter. Very close. Yep.
Come on.
Very close.
It was one of those two. I thought it was Fowler. Really?
Yes, you're very, very close. And in my research just now to make sure I was getting his actual job title, I came across, I'm just going to ask you, but you probably won't know, but I'll tell you afterwards. Where was General Joe Potter born?
Oh, wow. No, I had no idea.
He was born in Oshkosh, Wisconsin.
How about that?
Wow.
Yes.
Didn't even know that.
Have you ever noticed how many connections there are to Wisconsin with things? Like, it seems like we've always got something.
Isn't that a line in a movie? Like the end, it was like, what isn't it, like 2020 or something like that? Like some, that one end of the, or 2012. 2012, that movie at the end of it, it was, we all have relatives from Wisconsin. I hear that a lot where like every, like people will like, oh yeah, I have people, like grandparents that live in Wisconsin and stuff like that. So, I mean, you're not wrong. And apparently other people think so too.
yeah, that's awesome. Oshkosh, I had no idea.
Mm-hmm.
I love to get my Wisconsin. You're doing a lot of editing on this one, so I'll I like to get my Wisconsin mentions in there too. Connections.
Definitely.
All right. Who is honored with a statue near the rear of the piazza in the Italian pavilion? Sorry, the Italy pavilion.
That would be Italy. I thought Belle at first, but that's France.
I can give you a hint. I'd like to give you a hint instead of...
Okay, yeah. If you would like to give me a hint, you can feel free to give me a hint.
As you start walking back, there is the, like... I don't want to say pavilion, because we've already got a... We're already in a pavilion, right? But there's, like... it's kind of like that, a small stage, I guess, with steps on four sides, maybe going up three steps, leveled, you know, stage area, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But off to the right of it is what we're talking about.
Yes.
A fountain there.
Mm-hmm.
Who's in that fountain?
I can see it right now in my brain. I'm thinking, I know I'm right there with you, Brian. You and I are standing there looking at it right now.
It's not Aquaman. I'll tell you that. Does that help you out at all?
Is it Ariel?
No. No, it's not Ariel.
You got me thinking of the sea now. I don't think that's Italy either. No, that's the ocean. What am I thinking of? You got any answers for me?
Yes.
Okay.
But at this point, if I give them to you, here we go. Ready? All right. Caesar, Neptune, St. Jude, or Frank Sinatra?
I'm going to go with Frank, no, Neptune. Yeah, I mean, so technically I don't get that one because that it is the dead giveaway.
And I'm blanking on who everyone confuses that with, which would be, like, I believe, a Greek god instead of a Roman god is who gets confused there. So it's Neptune, not the other one that I'm thinking of.
So here's one for you, and it's kind of a, it's one of my least favorite types of trivia questions because it involves numbers.
Yeah.
But this is, it's kind of something fun to know about Disney and Disney World, and with the 50th rolling around, something fun that you can tell your friends, like, hey, eh. So how much did it cost Walt Disney to purchase 48 square miles of Florida swampland in 1964?
48 square miles.
Correct.
So all of the property?
Yes.
I don't know that number.
Okay. I'll tell you. I know. This is why it's my least favorite trivia type question. It's because numbers, I hate numbers. But it is $5 million.
Okay. And I don't know, that number kind of came into my head, but, you know, it's kind of like a Austin Powers thing.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you that it became more expensive to get those last couple of plots of land. Bonnet Creek, that complex, which is, oh, help me out. I believe that is a Hilton property. That is one that was never sold to Disney. They were never able to get a hold of it. And then eventually was sold to someone else. They have some rights granted to them to get access to the roadways of Disney World, which I find interesting. I don't know. It's not part of the property. It's not really, I believe only recently they made them Good Neighbor hotels. So I've always been interested with that Bonnet Creek piece for some reason. I know that was the last piece they were trying to buy. And I think the cat was out of the bag at that point. So.
Yeah. And with that, they actually, I knew some of these names at one point, but with that, they were actually buying up all of these tracts of land in Florida under false names. So they would actually go through different airports and stuff like that. Like Disney would send people through different airports to kind of get people off the scent that Disney was going to Florida to go look at some stuff, look at some land. And so they would show up and they would buy all of this land in Central Florida, which was like on the super cheap.
Because it was all swamp.
It was all swampland. But the reason they loved that area was because it was right smack dab in the middle. There were several highways that passed right over by that area. So it was kind of like a perfect little hub to put what they wanted to put there. But they had all these different code names, like Buena Vista Properties. It's not, definitely not the names, but they had all these different names, but really it was Disney buying up the property. And eventually somebody got wise and found out that it was Disney, and they had and Walt decided, hey, might as well have a press conference. And so they came out and they said, hey, yes, this is Disney. We're making a Disney resort out in Florida. But it was cool that I think it's been kind of thought of as kind of like a spy type thing where like they had different code names and they had secret dummy corporations that were buying the land when really it was Disney. It's a very cool story about how it all happened.
And it'll never happen again. but yes, it is a very cool story, and maybe that's the next in-depth history type discussion we should go into on one of our podcasts, because you're right, it's such a great story. One of my favorite stories, and I may have told this one on an episode already, but it's worth telling again, where Walt wasn't coming to Florida. He couldn't. He was too recognizable. But there was a point where he needed to be there to decide something or to look at something. And he was in a hotel, and I'm going to get the quote wrong. I already know it. But he was sitting in the hotel eating breakfast, I believe, and the waitress recognized him and said something to him. And, you know, like, you look like Walt Disney. Would you mind, you know, you are, you know, would you mind signing this for me? And he says, oh, that, I get mistaken for him all the time. If I ever meet him, I'm going to punch him or something.
Like that. Wow. And,
you know, just to try to throw people off the track, off the scent of what was actually going on. Mm-hmm. So I love that story.
Yeah, that would definitely be something really cool to kind of talk about and do some serious research on. And it actually sounds like, I mean, it would be a movie that only I would be interested in, but that would sound like it would be a cool movie to like put together, or even just a documentary, like about how they did this and like the people who made it happen. That would be very cool. It's like kind of like interview. Brian, we should do it. We should make it happen.
All right. We should do that. I don't know. All right.
Well, Brian, I think it is your turn, unless I'm mistaken.
No, I believe it is mine. Where in World Showcase can children learn to make masks? Let me start over. All right, yes, it's my turn. Where in World Showcase can children learn to make masks that reflect each pavilion's culture?
Huh. So, I don't think they really have a pavilion that is all of the pavilions. This one's actually kind of difficult because I mean, I don't know. I've like never heard of this. Is it in World Showcase or is it in the front in like Future World, whatever it's called?
It's in World Showcase.
Okay.
One hint would be it's multiple stops. It's not one place.
Okay. So is it a stop in each
yes
country? Oh.
And see, this is why I brought this one up, because I think it's a little known fact that they're out there. And so again, tonight I'm trying to help you guys with your next trip. Here's some mm-hmm. little things you can pick up along the way. Yeah, my kids have loved doing this.
Is it, I mean, I don't think I know the word per se, but are they like kid stops?
Yes, the KidCot fun stops.
Okay, yeah.
Yep. So, yeah, in the before times, the you would go to a desk in the pavilion, there would be a cast member there, and if you had not made your first stop, if this was your first stop, then they would give you a mask and they would put a stamp on the handle of that mask from the country. And then you get to color up your mask and, you know, hold that up wherever, you know, wear it, whatever. And then you would go to the next one and they would give you another stamp and they would talk to you in maybe their language. And you would get some little information, color more if you want. And so there's stops along the way. Now, thank you, COVID, the stop is a little different where they give you a Ziploc bag at each stop and there's a card inside of it that has facts about the country and I believe there's some stickers in there as well. So you can't get the stamp right now because that's too hands-on. But along with this is that my wife and I would buy the passport and you could take the passport to those stops and they would stamp your passport. But like I said, they're not stamping right now. So maybe those stickers is what you would use then. in your passport if you were still doing that. Unsure if they're selling those right now. That was a before times thing. But yeah, so like the cards are pretty cool to collect now. I took my daughter up to one of them on our last trip, and she got the cards and was reading over it a little bit and thought that was enjoyable. Because of the type of trip we were on in Epcot that day, we didn't stop at them, at all of them. We just kind of had the time to stop at that one. So I think it's a nice little collectible if the kids want to collect those as they're going through. Gives them something to look forward to in each pavilion. And I think the World Showcase can be difficult for kids. So to have this, I think, really can help them.
Definitely. Yeah, that's very cool. And I mean, I just don't have kids yet. So that's not something that, I mean, I'm not usually running to, but you do see them around. I have seen these tables before, and I've seen kids sitting at these tables, drawing on these masks before. So they're definitely there, and they're out there. I just haven't experienced that part of being an adult yet.
when we took a trip 5 years ago now, on that trip, we were in Italy, and we were kind of tired at that point, and the kids started coloring, and we grabbed a table near there and just sat down, grabbed something to drink, and we sat there for a good half an hour and just kind of recharged. And it was amazing to do that because the kids were busy. They had their thing they were doing. We could keep an eye on them, and we were, you know, 20 feet from them sitting at a table relaxing while they did that. And, you know, like, that's another thing you can add into your trip is, hey, here's an activity for you to do while I rest for a minute. Or have the latest glass of wine, whatever it may be.
And it's kind of funny thinking about having kids and like what I would possibly do, like when I have kids, and I'm thinking like, oh yeah, that's probably a good idea, like find something for them to do. But then at the same time, it's like I'm going to be running from thing to thing at Disney. I don't know when that's going to stop. I'll probably just keep doing that for the rest of my life, just sprinting around Disney. Hopefully my kids can keep up.
What was that red blur? Oh, that was just Mikhailo.
Yes.
So I believe it's your turn.
Yes. And I'm gonna go ahead and formulate the last question I have. So Brian, you can go ahead and formulate the last question that you have for me. And this will be the end all be all for today's trivia session. So make sure it's a spicy one.
Oh, okay. Well, I had one, but it's not spicy. All right. So I'm just going to go with what I had. The cast members that work in World Showcase, there's always something special about them. What is that specialty?
I feel like this is kind of obvious, but I'll say it anyways. They're from the country that they're in.
Yes, that's okay. Exactly what I was going for. And that's why I was hesitant at first, because it's pretty obvious, but you know, like right now we don't have any international cast members because of all the travel restrictions still in place. But I believe they've started making calls.
I feel like I've heard that too. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, again, that is really cool. My kids are both in French in school. So I wanted to this last time, to go into France, walk up to somebody and say, they're taking French in school, talk to them. And knowing that these cast members would be like, awesome, let's talk, right? But I couldn't do that on my last trip because everything's stupid. But I think that's a really cool thing, and I think it's coming back soon. I know they're still, you know, looking for workers. So if they can, you know, take the workers that are in World Showcase and put them elsewhere because they have international workers now, I think that's going to help a lot. And I think we'll see things open up as soon as they can start doing that again. So yeah, it's definitely a cool, cool item. I would for sure go up to people and ask them about their country. I did that in Morocco when we went to eat there. My brother-in-law had just moved here not too long after or too long before we had gone there. And she was from Marrakesh. He's from Casablanca. But it was interesting to talk to her a little bit about her hometown and where she was living before she had come out here. And she says she gets really fat every time she goes home because her mom just makes amazing food all the time. So I just, you know, those are the types of interactions you can get with these cast members.
Yeah, definitely. I totally agree. And I've never, I mean, I've always kind of noticed that, that all these people, and on their pin, it always says like where they're from. And so that's always very cool to see. But I've never really had any crazy interaction with these cast members before. And so that's always something to kind of keep your eye out and like keep in the back of your head, like, hey, they're from this country, like talk to them about it, because they're more than willing to talk to you about their home country. And that's kind of why they want to be there. So they want to be representatives of their country. So it's very cool. My question may be a little spicier. Brian, you'll either know this or you'll completely not know this. I think you might know this though. But on The Great Movie Ride, which character is wearing the clothes he or she actually wore in the movie being portrayed? Now I have options for you, Brian. Would you like to hear the options?
Could you read that one more time?
On The Great Movie Ride, which character is wearing the clothes he or she actually wore in the movie being portrayed?
Give me some options.
Okay. We've got Judy Garland, The Wizard of Oz, James Cagney, The Public Enemy, Harrison Ford, Indiana Jones, or Sigourney Weaver, Alien.
I'm going to go with Sigourney Weaver on this one from Alien.
Okay. Unfortunately, Brian, that is incorrect. The correct answer is James Cagney of The Public Enemy. And that is because when James's family was approached to use his likeness on The Great Movie Ride, the family wanted it to look realistic, so they gave Disney the clothes that he wore in The Public Enemy. I also would have accepted John Wayne because there, at one point, there was a belt buckle that John Wayne wore in The Great Movie Ride that was a real belt buckle that he wore in a movie. However, that belt buckle was stolen by a cast member once they found out that it was the real deal.
Those darn cast members going rogue. when you were reading the description of James Cagney, I do remember some sort of discussion about that, some that I had read. I couldn't tell you who the character was though. So mm-hmm. James Cagney, that's pretty awesome. Disney Confessions, hashtag Disney Confessions. I never read or rode The Great Movie Ride.
Wait, seriously?
Seriously.
Wow. That's I feel like that's a huge Disney confession. I hope that she listens to this at some point. But I rode The Great Movie Ride for the first time at one point with my mother, and we were actually waiting for my sister was auditioning for, this is how long ago it was. My sister was auditioning for America's Got Talent.
American Idol.
So while that was happening, and my mom or my dad was there with my sister, and I think my brother was hanging out with my dad as well, my mom and I just went out and got onto The Great Movie Ride. And I thought it was amazing. I thought it was so cool. everything that they were bringing you through. And that was a cool little bonding moment with my mom that we were able to ride that ride together.
Yeah. And I don't know. I don't know why we never rode it. I've had plenty of opportunities.
Yeah, you were just waiting for Mickey's Runaway Railway, weren't you?
I was. Gosh, it's so much fun. I want to go ride it again.
Yes, right. Yes. Anyways, that's all the trivia we have for you guys. We were able to stump each other a couple times, but we were also pretty prolific in the questions that we did answer. So I was happy about that.
For ourselves.
Yes. But what kind of trivia do you guys like to do with Disney? Do you like to do movie trivia? Do you like to do parks trivia? Let us know and give us something. Try to stump us. Give us a question. See if we can answer it. Talk to us about the kind of trivia you like, because trivia is fun. So is history. Maybe we'll have a history episode come up pretty soon. We can kind of talk about these little tiny things that are fun with Disney that incorporate history.
Yeah, and if you've been listening and you know, we throw out these little tidbits of historical facts and data and whatever. And if something's come up that you haven't heard us talk about yet, we want to hear that. I'm always looking for more information about Disney World and the Disney history. So if there's something some nugget you're hanging on to, send us an email, throw it on the Facebook community. It would be great to have you out there letting us know what we're missing. So give us your trivia questions out there too.
Definitely. And with that, that's all we have for you guys tonight. We will see you next time on Miles from Main Street. Thanks for tuning in. If you enjoyed the show, please rate us on iTunes and subscribe. Email us at milesfrommainstreetpodcast@gmail.com with any thoughts and visit us on Facebook under Miles from Main Street. We'll be bringing more to you weekly and look forward to talking to you then.
Until next week, remember,
some live close,
but most of us don't.
So let's talk about it.